Good evening. Welcome back to the 11 o'clock hour. You're listening to Darkness Radio. We are your source for paranormal talk radio every Saturday and Sunday night from 9 to midnight. And again, if you miss any part of our show, please check out our archives. You can go to click on the Darkness Radio podcast page. You'll be able to go back and check all of our shows all the way back to August 24th of this year. If you want to go back and hear some of our older shows and you just found our station and our show, please check out darknessradio.com. Again, darknessradio.com. Go into our archive section. We have the last 2.5 years worth of shows there. Everybody from Dan Aykroyd talking about UFOs to the Ghost Hunters to Chris Fleming, Patrick Burns, all the different paranormal celebrities, Derek Acora, Yvette and Carl Fielding from Most Haunted, Richard Felix. We've got a lot of great speakers that we've spoken with over the last 2.5 years. We're rapidly approaching our third anniversary. Tim, I think we should do something fun for our third anniversary this year. Take me out anywhere.
I'm going to sing. I'm going to dance. I'm going to do it all in the news.
Excellent.
Yep.
No, that's bad.
No. Okay.
Yeah, we should do something fun for it. Let's mull on that for a little bit. Maybe we should have a little anniversary party up here.
Pop bottles and rock models. Is that what we're doing?
Exactly.
Heck yeah.
We'll have a little anniversary party. Maybe we can have some people out for a special ghost hunt.
There you go.
And we'll host that out here in Minnesota. So keep watching our website at darknessradio.com for any updates for our third anniversary. Right now, though, we're going to go back to our phone lines. We've got our guest calling in all the way from Arizona this evening. We're happy to have her with us. It's Rochelle Sparrow. She's a trance medium and psychic. And, again, for more information, check out her website at rochellesparrow.com. R-O-C-H-E-L-L-E Sparrow. S-P-A-R-R-O-W.com. Rochelle, before we went to break, we were talking all kinds of really interesting facts about energy and the source and where you're able to get your power from and how people should be very careful opening themselves up to this field, what kind of energy they open themselves up to.
Mm-hmm.
Do you recommend, I mean, I know you said everybody's got the ability to do what you do. In different levels, but do you recommend that just because you can, you know, just because I can learn to eat fire and swallow swords, should I do it? You know, I mean, that's
yes,
the kind of question.
You should.
I know, that'd be awesome.
I know.
Really, I just, you know, I mean, just because I like hot dogs, should I automatically go to Nathan's and try to get into the hot dog eating contest against Kobayashi Maru?
Yes.
Whatever that cat's name is. Just because it's you have that ability, do you think everybody should try to develop it? Or?
Well, it really depends. It depends on whether or not you feel called to develop it.
But don't you think that if everybody started to take time and meditate and they started to open that up, that the global consciousness and the oneness that we could all, start getting all hippie here, Tim.
Yeah. Light it up, baby.
Play the bong music in the background for me.
Yeah,
but Rochelle, if we start getting into that realm and we all come together with intent and an understanding. Now, like I said, we do a lot of work on our website at darknessradio.com at the MySpace page where people will send us prayer and healing requests. And we put it out in a blog form and we get responses from people praying and healing and sending energy from all over, and we've gotten amazing results just when you show 100 or 200 people focusing on the same thing together.
I agree. I've had that happen to me.
Now, do you think that people should start to try to develop these abilities? Because if we can all start tapping into this source, into this universal energy, that together we can heal the planet, we can heal the wars, we can heal what's going on in our lives?
I absolutely believe that. And that is why I was saying that we serve a purpose here on Earth. We really do serve a purpose to take a look at whatever is emotionally blocking us from using our skills, talents, and abilities so that we can heal those blocks, connect inwardly, and connect outwardly with other people, because we are meant to heal war. We are meant to really help each other and not have famine, not have all of these raging illnesses without simple medicine that's so available to people. It's just ridiculous. So yes, we are truly meant to do that. We are truly meant to move inward, to connect inside of ourselves, and therefore connect outside of us. Absolutely.
And let me ask you this. We just had in the first hour of our show, we were doing national news with Bree Sanders, and she was reading a story, and the gentleman's name escapes me, but he's a psychic who's, I guess, very accurate in his predictions of world finance and things. And according to him, there's a big maelstrom coming that between now and 2012, things are just going to go to hell in our country. And it's going to be more important to put food on our plates next, you know, in Christmas by 2012 than it will be to worry about gifts. What do you see for our country? We have about 7 minutes left in this segment, but is there a way to tap in and kind of give us your views on what you see?
Let me go into channeling.
Okay, please. And Tim will jot this stuff down. Let's make it known on the website as well.
Okay.
I've got pen and paper. Don't worry, Tim.
In that, again, there is a look, a view from inward outward here that truly needs to be digested, focused upon, and made a decision about. Is that what is needed here? More upheaval, more economic disaster, more impending doom? Have you not learned from that particular point of view enough? So what is in it to learn more about? That is the true question that each person that believes in such a particular view must take a look at, because that is the block that Rochelle is speaking about here in terms of all blocks that must be looked at, negotiated, viewed, and healed with analysis. There is no analysis here. There's only fate. There's this simple conclusion and an outrageous belief that somehow all is going to hell in a handbasket. Now, that's their words and that's their phrasing, and they tend to be formal in their phrasing. When they're not, it means something. So that what we are suggesting here is that you can make a different view from inside of your own mind. You can make a choice in terms of your own outlook, in terms of what you want to see, what is necessary to see. Now, we are about to make a prediction. We do see economic swings. It feels like back and forth, up and down, and some of them feel quite drastic. However, the reality is that it is going to move, meaning the economy, into greater stability within a month's time. There will be signs of greater stability. There will be less, I want to say, companies going bankrupt, more stability in mortgage industry, and car industry will reach a stable low. So it's not necessarily positive, but it is stable. And there is also going to be a greater, hold on just a second, okay, got it, financial interest in beginning to take a look at and solving the war and that particular crisis as well. There's going to be regulations that we see placed upon, it feels like the banking industry and other industrial complex as well. So we see a series, I'm going to say, of new policies being put into placement rather quickly and rather efficiently. So we do not see, I want to say, this economic disaster that is supposedly impending going to occur. We actually see, again, upheavals, this kind of up and down swings, and then greater stability throughout the next year will begin to occur is correct.
Well, I know a lot of times, and I mean, this is just history repeating itself, whenever there's a new changeover in presidency, we always seem to get everything stabilizes for a while because there's a new hope and a new belief in the system that's coming into play. But do you see going into 2012, and we've only got about 2 minutes left in the segment, so I'll let you, maybe your spirit guides can kind of chew on this question. We'll come back to it when we come into the next segment.
Okay.
But, we want to know going forward into 2012, and I think what I'm hearing is that the perceptions are this at this point, that things are going to hell in a handbasket, but it's within us to turn it around and make things change. Is that what you're saying?
We're never stated.
Right.
This is really about our empowerment. You see, that whole fate concept, and you got to tear this down psychologically, is, again, is about our being out of alignment with the power and equality of God. Now, when we're in alignment with God, we have all of the creative force we need to change any situation outside of us. When we believe God is in control and we're fated and, you know, why do anything anyway? Because this is what's going to happen because I have no control of it, over it. Only God does. Then we make ourselves disempowered and unequal, and we do not have an alignment with the flow of creative energy from Source or God. And that's very important. We really have to work to heal our internal flow, our internal connection with who we really are, and therefore our connection with Source.
All right. We'll come back. Again, our guest this evening is Rochelle Sparrow. She is a transmedium channeler, and we're asking questions about our place in the global world and in economic, you know, strife and in war and that. We'll get some more answers, hopefully, from her channeling sessions when we come back. I'd like to still work in while we can in this next segment or in one of the next segments. Some information, maybe some insight from JFK. I know that you said you've been able to channel him in the past, so we'll mm-hmm. come back to that. And just stay tuned with us. If you have information or questions, please join us in the live chat room. Go to darknessradio.com. Click on the live chat link. Join in there with other like-minded individuals seeking the truth, and we'll try to get those answers, hopefully get those questions answered for you this evening. You're listening to the best in paranormal talk radio here every Saturday and Sunday night. And welcome back to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. Our guests this evening, Rochelle Sparrow and Tim. Been sitting there pretty silent tonight, listening along on this. Do you have any questions for Rochelle you want to fire off before we launch into our next segment?
No, I don't think so.
No? Pretty good?
Yeah.
Now, Tim's more the skeptic of the two of us, Rochelle.
Oh, that's great.
And he, yeah, no, you know, and it's not that he doesn't believe it. We've seen some really crazy things come through on readings. When you were doing your channeling, I don't know, maybe you could open up for Tim if you're open for this. Rochelle, would you be able to open up for Tim's guides and spirit guides to come through? And if there's anybody that wanted to communicate with him or any messages, be able to do that?
Yeah, if he wants me to.
Sure.
Okay.
Okay. In that, okay, I'm getting mother energy. There is a great deal of information that we would like to present to him regarding mother. However, in this short visit, what we are going to suggest is that his being truly begin to open up to his connection in that particular regard. That is all we wish to state right now.
Hmm. Okay? I think I know why too, Tim, huh?
I think so too.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll talk. Maybe we can have you guys talk off air. And do that. And folks, we'll update you in about a week or so after Rochelle and Tim have a chance to talk, you know, to let you know. Again, I kind of expected something similar like that to come through. I did. I don't know about you, Tim. You know, being kind of a guarded moment for you with the tragedy that's happened in your life over the last couple of weeks as well. So,
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah. So that doesn't surprise me too much. We'll come back and we'll discuss that in a week or two when we get the chance.
What do you feel
when you're doing these readings and you're seeing now, can you tell how many lifetimes Tim has lived?
I can't. I could get energies from different ones. You see, we've all lived a lot more. People think, you know, that, oh, well, I've had 8 or 9 lives like a cat. No, right. You've had a lot more than 8 or 9 lives. You've had hundreds of lives.
Do we vacillate between lives in forms? Are we always in human form? Do we come as animal forms?
You know what? I think we do, but I'm not certain because I've actually never channeled about it. But I think we do come back in different forms.
Okay. I just have always been curious about that. Now, how do you, too, when you're doing your channeling sessions, are you allowing spirits into you to talk, or are you just, did you say that your spirit guides start to translate what's being said to you from the ancestor spirit guides, angels, things around us?
Thank you. I really appreciate your questions. They're excellent. What I do is I feel them, and they stand in front of me, and they literally just send me what feels like is a ball of light. It's energy. So it's like a compressed zip file. And then when I go into a trance state and everything slows down, this zip file literally unzips in my slow down trance state, and I'm able to hear words. So that's the actual process. It's almost like physical hearing. It's very, very close to it.
All right. So you get these packets of information that you're able to then share and open up.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how to explain this. I know that, I believe the terminology is called soul splintering. Do any of the bits of information you get, do they come from our previous selves from different lifetimes?
Yes.
Okay, so do they give you... So if we have a fear, if there's a fear, you know, the belief is that if I have a fear of water, it's because I drowned in my past life or one of my past lives. If I have a fear of clowns, it's because, I don't know, I was beaten to death by a clown. I don't know what the hell the fear of clowns comes from. But, I mean, is there a reason for that, truthfully? Or is it just, you know, sometimes it's just your... And you know from the psychological aspect, could it just be that there's just something very simple that has nothing to do with you being bitten by a snake or drowning or being beaten to death by a clown in your last life?
Well, what happens is that the similar situation is recreated in this particular life.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, if you have, as an example, if you drowned in a previous life and you're afraid of water, then something is affecting you in a very concrete way about water in this particular lifetime. So the situation itself is recreated for you to know more about so that you can heal the particular situation. These situations, whether or not you're depressed or you're anxious about something and you're creating conflicts with your spouse or your wife out of depression or anxiety, it's really so that you can look outside of yourself, see the situation, and then go inside yourself and heal the situation. So that's really what it's about, so that when you affect your own healing in this particular lifetime, then you heal whatever energy was brought over from another lifetime.
All right. Do you see, are there, you know, people always have the question, are we haunted? Are there really ghosts? Are we really dealing with ghosts of dead people, or are we dealing with just energies from the past that are just there and we're just kind of, you know, it's like a movie playing and we just happen to walk through the screen at that moment. We're able to see things that pop up.
You know, I don't think it's one or the other. I think there's so many things that happen out there that are intelligent interactions. At least that's been my particular experience. So, for example, there was this entity, and there's this entity on our property here in Phoenix.
Okay.
And I walked outside, and I saw it, and it, if you could imagine an outline full of water, that's what it looked like. It looked like a water person or a water being to me.
Okay.
And it literally came from my neighbor's door, saw me looking at it, and came over to my car. And I just went around my car to get a closer look, and it disappeared. Now, that, whatever that was, it interacted with me in an intelligent manner. So I think that these entities or these things, they know and see us in the same way that we know and see them. Some of them. I'm not sure if it's all of them.
So you think that we're just coexisting with other energies, that we're misunderstanding for dead people, which aren't really dead people, they're just an energy form or another life being?
It could very well be, or they could be dead people. For example, and again, I would have to channel to get more specific information about your question. But when I channel about people who have passed, I don't know that they're passed. I can't tell the difference.
Okay.
I can't tell in their energy that they're either dead or alive. I'm just channeling about them.
Well, let me ask you this, and when we come back into the next segment, I'd like to see if you can channel JFK for us here on the anniversary. If people are reincarnated, and you know there's been some proof to believe that JFK has been reincarnated already, how are you tapping into somebody's soul that is already back among the, you know, corporeal or among the living?
Well, I think that in terms of time, there isn't a particular time up there, and it's not necessarily tapping into the future incarnation, but the incarnation that was present that I'm intent on connecting with. And I think that's a complicated issue, because you can get into soul guides too, because I do believe that somehow our soul lives are connected to our soul guides, so that we are both that particular soul guide and they are both us. And I think that perhaps we live out the lives of our soul guides as well.
Okay.
So in other words, my soul guide is Akbar, and he was an actual historical figure in the 1500s, and I believe he was me. So he's actually a reincarnation. I'm actually a reincarnation of him.
So we're all coexisting all at once. There is no time. Time is not linear. It's just that these things can all coexist at one time and transcend what we believe linear time is.
Right.
Man, that hurt my own head, Tim.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to take another break here, and then we'll come back, and maybe you can start setting yourself into the mindset. We'd like to talk to JFK, if that's at all possible, when we come back.
Okay, let's do it.
And we'll do that. You're listening to the best in paranormal talk radio, here every Saturday and Sunday night with you from 9 to midnight. And again, if you miss any part of our show, check out our website for the podcasts. We'll be back with more live show. Good evening. Welcome back to the Darkness on the Edge of Town paranormal radio show. Well, guys, this is intriguing. Now, I've got Timmy opening up his microphone here.
Mm-hmm.
This is my birthday weekend. I'm out in Ocala, Florida. I'm at the Seven Sisters Inn, and we were doing the investigation with Rob Demarest and Kristen Gartland and Patrick Burns. So we're pre-recording our show. We're letting you guys in on a big radio secret. The show is pre-recorded tonight.
Uh-oh.
So here's the interesting thing, though. As we've been leading you up to this all night long, we've been tantalizing and teasing you with doing a channeling session with JFK,
mm-hmm.
with Rochelle Sparrow. And what's funny, I guess, and Tim, maybe you can explain this. When we started recording, we did the introduction. I came in out of the commercial break. We're recording. I say, okay, we're going to do this. We have Rochelle Sparrow on the line. We're going to now try to communicate with John F. Kennedy. And we're going to go through the segment, and she says, okay, yeah, just feel free to ask questions. Everything is fine up until that point, to the moment I say, okay, let's go ahead. And as soon as we start channeling, the recording goes absolutely haywire.
The file becomes fragmented, yep.
Yeah, so we've got cutting in and out during the talk. The pieces are there. We've saved this chunk of audio, and our web guy, Mike or Delia, we're going to send over the MP3 format of this, so that it'll be on our site. You can download, so you'll actually be able to hear the channeling session in its entirety, but it's all choppy and kind of obnoxious. We don't want to play it over the air because it'll be brutal for people listening in their car. But we are going to make it available on our website so that you can listen to the session, because it's interesting. I asked who killed Kennedy? Why, you know, was it an assassination? And he gave us a very pretty distinct answer. And also, we asked him about the death of Marilyn Monroe, in which he answered that as well. So we're going to have that audio up on our site. If you want to listen to it, it'll be an excerpt. It'll be a special piece that we'll put on both on darknessradio.com, and we'll put it up on the KTLK page. It'll be a segment of podcast after the third segment's over, correct?
We'll call it Darkness Radio Addendum or Kennedy Addendum, so that way you can listen to it. But be forewarned, the file is fragmented right after Rochelle begins to channel.
Right, so it's going to sound strange and bizarre, but I'd love to have some audio text. Listen to it. Feel free to download the segment, play with it, and see if you guys are getting some kind of weird messages through that as well. That'll be interesting, huh, Tim?
Sure.
See if we get any kind of stuff. Well, Rochelle, thank you for doing that channeling session.
Thank you.
Everybody's out there going, screw you, we want to hear it. but we don't, it would feel forced. We actually talked to Rochelle about, well, should we try to re-channel? But, I mean, I'm sure President Kennedy has more important things to do than reiterating everything he just said to us. And we'll have Rochelle back on in the future and see if we have any other messages. But we do have it in its entirety. You can actually hear it all. It's just choppy throughout it, so it gets obnoxious to listen to on air. So we are going to avoid that. Rochelle, when you do channeling sessions like that, does it start to take its toll on you physically or mentally?
It does. With John F. Kennedy especially, it just feels like it takes a great deal of energy. So more so than other people. more so than just attaching to my guides. I'm not quite certain as to why that is, but it does take a great deal of energy.
Well, and now you were telling us when we were explaining to you what was going on, you weren't very surprised that that this occurred.
No, it's happened before on another radio show. I don't know if I should. Can I mention names?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, X-Zone with Rob McConnell, for those of you who may be listening out there.
Beep that out, Tim. I'm just kidding.
We'll do it.
So you've been on with Rob McConnell in the past, and what's happened during your channeling sessions with them?
Well, let me see if I can remember specifically what's happened, but it seems to me like things have shut down or things haven't come through as clear as they need to be either. So it seems like there's been some interruptions.
Now, Rochelle, I'm going to throw a little something out here. Do you believe that when you're channeling somebody like JFK or whatnot and getting those answers, do you think the whole reason that that energy goes haywire and things happen is because maybe that information isn't supposed to get out in the first place?
It could be. I know that when JFK mentions, for example, the group, like I was saying during that segment, he doesn't necessarily give me all the names, and I really feel it's out of protection. So, yes, I do believe that.
So now, do you ever worry when you give information like that, do you worry that, by giving that, do you worry that you know, if there really are government hitmen out there, politicos that are, you know, looking to remove anybody that knows too much, do you ever have concerns that they might come after you for knowing what you do?
Well, I think that's really interesting. You asked such wonderful questions. I was really not certain if I was going to start telling people that I was channeling JFK when I started channeling JFK, and especially with the information that he gives specifically in the book. And I wasn't really comfortable with some of that information going out publicly. So it was a question I really struggled with. But it's been given to me, and I feel protected. I know I'm going to be okay. And I feel protected. I know I'm going to be okay. And I feel protected. I know I'm going to be okay. So I decided to dispense what I get. And that's what I do. With any kind of information that I get, I will share it.
Now, how did you know that you were getting Kennedy when you started doing this? I mean, did you just come in for somebody else's channeling deal? Were you putting out energy trying to, you know, I got to guess you're a kick at a party, right? Everybody's like, hey, Rochelle, can you try to communicate with Elvis Presley? Can you try to communicate with it? And do you get that where people ask you to communicate with the celebrities and
well,
you do?
You know, I don't really have that kind of control.
Okay. So it's not like a big switchboard you can just plug into and get Elvis or Sinatra or Dean Martin, or you just get whoever comes through?
Well, what happens is that people connect with me. They tend to connect with me. And when I was about 6 years old, JFK was shot. And my family decided to go to the funeral. So I was actually at his funeral.
Wow.
And I saw the horses, and I saw the casket go by, and I think that he made a choice to connect with me. I don't think I'm the only one. I think he's connected with a lot of people. But he made a choice to connect with me, and I think that one of the reasons is because he's just, and I feel quite strongly in his take on people, creating justice, creating healing, creating hope wherever he went in his particular lifetime.
Now, there was a lot of speculation, though. Kennedy was kind of a crooked guy. I mean, there was, you know, not even speculation. They pretty much know that it was his mob ties and friends that got him elected.
Well, there was a lot. He wasn't perfect by any nature.
Right.
But he did have ideals that he really did try to push as well. So there's complications there. I mean, he wasn't perfect, and you know, his problems with women and his problems in that regards that you're talking about, he did have a lot of problems. But on the other hand, he did have some inspiring goals that he wished to achieve as well. And with that kind of a complex personality, that's what I really look to him as, is the inspiration and the hope that he offered. Now, as far as his personality is concerned, he was split off emotionally from his own sense of idealized goals. And it was easier for him to idealize goals in certain situations rather than look at himself emotionally. And that happens a lot with people. They take a scenario that becomes an ideal scenario in their mind, and they put their energy and effort into that particular scenario rather than looking at the emotional chaos sure. that's happening in their lives. And that was him, and he is that complex, yes.
Well, Rochelle, let me ask you this. Do you get the feeling, or through your channeling sessions, has President Kennedy said to you, in particular, I regret the human actions I did, has he ever said to you that the human actions directly got in the way of his idealist ideas and the good side of him? Has he mentioned to you specifically the bad side conflicted with the good side?
Now, yes, after he's passed. So on the other side of the veil, he has a sense of regrets. He has a sense of conflicts. I'm not so sure he had that while he was in his life here.
Has he given you any indication in the afterlife of what direction he would have went had he survived?
What direction emotionally?
Or just with his ideals and taking the what direction he would have taken the nation?
He would definitely have not have gone out in a convertible that day.
Yeah,
that would have been exactly. The big difference. I think that he would have tried to create the World Bank that he was speaking of, that he would have tried to create international foreign policy that equalized finances between countries, right. That he would try to take out the motivation for war that occurs between countries, well, I should say countries and corporations. So, yes, I think that there was a definite direction.
Good deal. Well, we're going to take our break here. We'll be back. We have one more 10-minute segment. You're listening to the best in paranormal talk radio with our guest, Rochelle Sparrow. We'll be back with more. Good evening. Welcome back. This is, unfortunately, our last segment for this evening with Rochelle Sparrow. Time has gone by really fast, Rochelle. We appreciate you spending time with us here this evening. And now, if people want to reach out to you and hear more about you and what you do, why don't you go ahead and give out some of the websites and ways that they can locate you as well.
Well, I so appreciate spending time with everybody out there tonight. So, and I appreciate you, Dave, and Tim. You've been asking such really interesting questions. So you've just made this a total breeze. So
thank you.
Thank you. And I'll say it. I said this. I didn't get a chance to say this on air, but he's an excellent interviewer.
Ah, that's what I like to hear.
Yes.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome. So now it's recorded.
Yes, very good. Now, you work with ShirleyMcLean.com, correct?
I work with ShirleyMcLean.com. I'm on her chat once a month answering people's questions.
Okay.
And also, you could get a hold of me to order sessions through ShirleyMcLean.com. I'm starting to do different events in 2009. I'm going to be at the Haunted Con Conference in Prescott, Arizona. I'm not sure of those dates as yet. And Through the Veil as a speaker with Chip Coffee and some other people. And that's going to be in June 5th through June 7th in Atlanta, Georgia. And we got some other things kicking up in the air here. So we're going to be having a good time in 2009. I do workshops here in Phoenix, which you could always get a hold of me for. And also I do online workshops as well. And you can reach me through www.rochellesparrow.com or 602-430-6447 for individual sessions as well. So I just so appreciate all of your support out there.
Now I'm curious, Rochelle, when you're doing readings for people, do you get, you know, when you're bringing in their spirit guides, do they ever come to you and say, you know, it's this person's time, they're going to be leaving soon or anything like that? And if you do get that message, are you compelled to tell the person that?
No.
Okay.
No. That.
Well, do they, first off, no, they don't tell you that?
That's another excellent question. I really consider giving that kind of information out as unethical, but fortunately, I do not get that kind of information.
Good.
So what? I do have a lot of people who legitimately ask me those kinds of questions. They'll say, for example, my mother is, I know that she's in the process of dying. I need to plan for this because of my work situation. Should I save my vacation now or should I plan my vacation later? Am I going to have to use my time up for my mother? You know, they say things like this. And the guides won't necessarily give them a direct answer. They may say something like this. Go ahead and plan your vacation now, and then they'll give advice about how to connect and support the person that is in the process of passing. So they'll give information about the very best way that somebody can connect and support someone.
I would think if I were a guide, I'd be pretty... I'd get pretty pissy with somebody, too, if they ask me, is my mom going to die? Can I plan this out somehow?
Yeah.
That's a little callous, don't you think?
Well, it may seem like that, but perhaps this person has been a caregiver for years, and it's been a long-term illness such as cancer, because I really don't feel it's callous. I feel it's a legitimate question when people come to me because they have these circumstances in their lives that they're really needing to take a look at. And maybe they've been a caretaker for a long time. Maybe they don't have any vacation time. Maybe they need to plan as far as their family goes, or there's some other circumstances are happening in their lives that they really need to consider. So it's not as necessarily callous as you might think.
So let me ask you this then, Rochelle. Is the process of death on the other side not as big of a deal as it is to us in life? Because here in life, we take time off of our jobs, we grieve, we go through the ceremony of leaving our loved one behind, you know, committing them to the ground, whatever we're doing. On the other side, is it not so much a big deal? Are they like, well, you know, they're here, no biggie?
Well, I think that the passing is that they recognize that somebody is passed. They want to help somebody. They want to, the ancestors or the guides on the other side, they want to bring them over to the other side. They want to help them adjust. They want to help them heal. They want to help them to connect with ancestors or whomever they'd like to connect with. And this includes past pets. So I think it's a matter of a recognition kind of an atmosphere where they recognize that the person, there's a consideration for the person. There is a much more open attitude, a much more graceful attitude to really seeing who the person is, seeing what the person needs, helping them to adjust, helping them to connect to what their need. There's more of an embracing of an individual. It's a different kind of an atmosphere than we have in third dimensional reality.
So you make it sound like there's some sort of discovery process here, that when you pass over, you're discovering really who you truly were without all the human emotions and baggage that came with it. Is that pretty accurate?
I think the intensity, this is from my experience again, the intensity of the human emotions may not be felt as intense. I think it's still present. I think that people are led, and this is in my book with JFK, are led to different types of, let me see, circles or groups where they could take a look at their actions in life in a review manner to take a look at what they can learn now. I don't think it's a dead emotional process. It has an ended. So it's not like, oh, well, we're done learning about ourselves now because we've died. I don't think it's like that at all. I think we really do go through a life review process.
Yeah, that's you know, my whole deal, and we've mentioned it on the show before, is my fear of death is what's kept me perpetuated into the world of the paranormal and trying to get those answers, knowing what comes next and how do we prepare for it. I, you know, my fears are deep and run wide when it comes to that. So it's nice that there's people like you that can come out and share some of this information and try to get us the, you know, the answers that we seek.
Well, you're welcome, but I'm really curious. What are you afraid of?
Death. Just that fear that what comes next and how do we, you know, I can't even put a word into it or, you know, how to explain it. And unfortunately we only have about 2 minutes left, so there's not even much chance to get into it. But that's why I said we'd love to have you back on in the future. And maybe you can, you know, develop an answer for us on that is, you know, what comes next? What do we expect when we pass from this earthly plane? And, you know, you hear stories of ghosts, you hear stories of all these things. It just unnerves me. What happens? Why? Why are we stuck here? Why do people stay with their burial ground? Why do people stay in a home or stay attached to a piece of jewelry? I would think that, you know, when you get that moment of transcendence and light, that you just go, you know, to be stuck here.
I think that is another great question, and it's another question to really explore. And, yes, I'd love to take a look at that. But have no fear. You're not going to be alone. There's going to be other individuals, other energies with you that will help.
Well, that's good. Yeah. Dying alone is a good thing. Mm-hmm. I appreciate hearing that. And now, can people get your book? How do they get that as well?
That's also on my website at www.rochellesparrow.com.
All right. And Rochelle, we appreciate the time you spent with us here this evening. We've got about a minute left. Is there any parting message you'd like to share with people?
Well, I just want to thank everybody again. I'm just so appreciative of being here on the show tonight with Dave and Tim. Like Dave mentioned, I did email him twice to get here.
It's all good. I'm glad you did. You know, it's staying in it that keeps us able to find great guests like you.
Oh, well, thank you. That's really nice. Thank you. And thank you, everybody out there, and just have a great night. And remember, we create our life from the inside out through healing. So always go inside and just take a look at your inner life.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Rochelle. Thank you all for tuning in. We'll be back again with you guys next week with a brand new show. Stay tuned. Check out our website for the links for all of our guests that we had this weekend and to get information about any one of them. And check our website, too, for all the cool new events that we have coming up, like the Waverly Hills event, also the James Gilliland UFO SETI Ranch event that's going to take place in August 2009. Tickets are going right now. So if you want to be a part of it, get involved. We'll be back again with you next week right here on the home for Paranormal Talk Radio.